Today's shiur is a Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Nun Ches. We will begin four lines from the top of the Yomid at the two dots with the words Rabbano. We are in the middle of a series of halachas and divrei agoda, which were given over by Rabbano. And the Gemara continues from what we began on Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Rabbano havakom etzayin ma'arta. Rabbano would mark the crypts, the caves in which the Kvorim of Tzaddikim were found, as the Rashbam explains. Number one, that this is only something done by an Adam Gadol V'Choshev, as Rabbi Bano was. He went inside the cave, inside the crypt itself, and he was given Rishus to enter the Kivrei Tzaddikim. But someone else would not be allowed to, as Rashbam brings the Gemara in Chulin Dav Zayin Amud Beis, that Gedolim Tzaddikim B'Misasan Yoyser M'B'Chayeim, that Tzaddikim in their death are even greater than while they are alive, and therefore it would be only an Adam Gadol who would be allowed to enter their crypt, their Makam of Kvura. He would go in, he would measure the length of the kever from inside the cave, and then he would go outside the cave, and with the same measurement, he would mark off with lime, with sid, so that the people walking there would recognize that there was a kever there, and they would not be mal on top of the kever. They would not be metame, any taharis that they were carrying, and this is what Rabbano did. It is interesting to note that the Ben Yoyada and the Maral learned that this entire Gemara is a cholom, it was a dream, and they explain what the dream personified, how to interpret this particular dream. But Bepashtus, this actually happened. So the Gemara continues, Kimata Lamarta d'Avram, when he came to the kever of Avram, Ashkechela Eliezer, Ever Avram, the koi kamei bava, he found that Eliezer, the Ever of Avram, was standing in the entrance of the kever, as the Rashbam brings down, that we have learned in Masechta Derech Eretz, that Shiva Tzadikim Kayomen Shaloi Mesu, there were seven Tzadikim that remained alive, they did not die, and one of those seven was Eliezer Eved Avram. So Eliezer is standing there in front of the kever. We see from this Gemara that Avram's kever would be Metame. So first of all, it would seem that this Gemara is not going like what would appear from the Zohar, that Kivrei Tzaddikim are Einam Metamin. It's a question if the Zohar itself says that. But certainly from the Bavli here, we see that Avram's Kever would have been Metame, and that's why Rabbano was trying to be Mezakeh DeRabim and mark off the exact dimensions in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah where Avram was buried, that people should not be ma'al on top of the kever of Avram. In fact, Tosfos here Divrei HaMaskil Mitzayin Ma'arta asks a question. Since we have learned in Yevamah Mistaf Samach Aleph that Atem Kriyum Adam Ve'ein Umas Oilem Kriyum Adam, and the Pasuk says Adam Ki Yomis Ba'oil, the only person who's matame is someone who's called an Adam, and that's a Ben Yisrael and not a Goy. And Tosfos entertains the thought that Avram, in fact, halachically had the status of an Akum. And if so, why did Rabbano have to mark off his kever if he was a Akum? So Kivrei Arvut Kechavim are not Metame Bo'oil, because they're not Kori Adam. They're not part of Adam Kiyomis Bo'oil. So asked Tosfos. And Tosfos answers at the end of Tosfos, four lines from the end, V'yesh Loimer, the Avram Nikra Adam. Avram, in fact, is called an Adam, because he's referred to as the Ha-Adam HaGadol, and so Adam HaRishon, as we're going to see, also that Rabbano was marking off the kever of Adam HaRishon, he's also referred to as Adam, and therefore he would be Nichlal in the Pasuk, and he would be Metame. L'chayra, this Tosfos, is not going like the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam in Yevamah Daf Samach Aleph, where there the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos ask a stira, that the Gemara there in Yevamah says that Umas Olam are not called Adam, and yet we find the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that a Goy that learned Torah could be comparable even to a Kohen Gadol, because the pasuk says that Asher Yasa Oisam Ha'adam V'chai Bohem, that it goes on any Adam, including even a Goy. And the Rabbeinu Tam is Mechalik, that there is a difference between Adam and Ha'adam. That ain't a chanami, in Adam, the Goy is not included. But in Ha'adam, he is included. So L'chayra here, when Taisus says that Avram is included in Tumah because he's called Ha'adam, that would not be like Rabbeinu Tam, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if Avram is called Ha'adam, but the pasuk that's Mechayiv Tumah is the one that says Adam. And Atem Kriyum Adam, Ve'enum Asylum Kriyum Adam. If Avram has a halach of a goy, he's not part of Adam. And from our Taisus, we see that our Taisus holds there is no chilik Adam or Ha'adam. And therefore, once I find a pasuk that Avram is referred to as Ha'adam, he would be included in the Tumah of Adam Kiyomus Bo'oil. Agav, it's kedai to look in the Tferes Yisroel. In Avis, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Dalid, on the Mishnah there, which says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem Elohim, and the Pasuk brings, the Mishnah there brings the Pasuk, Ki B'Tzalem Elohim Osa Es Ha Adam, and the Tferes Yisroel there tries to understand this whole Inyan, the Chilik of Rabbeinu Tam. He asks, first of all, what's the Pasuk Pshat? That a goy is not called an Adam? Is a goy considered an ape? Is he an animal? Avada, he has a tzelem alokim. So how can the Gemara Taka say he's not called an Adam? And then ask the Tveres Yisrael, we have great goyim who contributed so much to civilization. For example, Drake brought the potatoes from the New World to Europe, and as a result, he stopped starvation there. Gutenberg created the printing press. They did all these wonderful things for civilization. How could we say they're not called Adam? And as a result of this and many other questions, the Tveres Yisrael says that if we say he's not Adam, then how could we say he is part of Ha'adam, the man? If he's not an Adam, then he's certainly not Ha'adam, the man, which is even more Cheshivas. So therefore, the Tveres Yisrael says that it means that just Adam is a name. Ha'adam is the Minu Anushi, is part of mankind. Of course, a Goy is B'Tzalem Elohim, and he's considered part of human civilization. However, Adam, the name, that's only given to Klal Yisrael. Just like Adam was the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was created by Hashem himself. So too, Klal Yisrael that were made into accepting the Torah, Kafalem Har Kegigis, they were forced to accept the Torah, so they are like the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're created, this nation of believers in Hashem is created, so to speak, by Hashem himself, and that's why they are similar to Adam, who was created by Hashem himself. They get the name of Adam Arishan. However, the rest of mankind, that if they accepted upon themselves to follow Hashem, that was their own volition. So they are called Ha'adam. They're certainly B'Tzalem Elohim. They're certainly Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem Elohim. But they don't get the title, the name of Adam, Adam Arishan. So explains it Tveres Yisrael, Ayin Shem. What we see from our Tosfos is that Avram had a halacha of an Adam, and therefore he would be his body would give off tumah. The Ritva says that since Avram was a Navi and he kept the whole Torah even before it was given at Har Sinai, he had a din of Yisrael, and for more lengthy analysis whether the Avos Kodem Matan Torah had a halacha of being a Yid or not, the Mishnah LeMelech wrote his classic Sefer Parashas Drachim, and in a lengthy exposition, he goes through this Inyan and brings many rayas both ways. There's an interesting pshat of the Granatrum of Tali Tropsitzal that says that the Avos had a Metzias of Yisrael. The Jewish nation started from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but the Kedushas Yisrael, the holiness of the Jewish people, that came to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai with the Kabbalas HaTorah. Continues the Gemara. So now that we have established that Avram, his body gives off Tumah, he's part of Adam, we don't say Kirat Tzadikim Einam Etamin. We also, the Yun Yaakov says from our Gemara, we see that even someone who dies with Mises Neshika, he was kissed by Hashem, because we've learned before that Avram and the Avos died with Mises Neshika. Even such a person who died in that special way, his body also would give off Tumah, and that's why Rav Benoah was marking off the kever of Avram Avinu. So he went to the kever, he sees Eliezer, Amarlei, so he says to Eliezer, my kavod Avram, what is Avram doing now? I don't want to disturb him. What exactly is he doing? Amarlei, so Eliezer said back to Rav Benoah, Ganoi, he is lying, bekanfa desora. He's lying, kanfa, the Rajabam says, Bein Zeroysa, he's lying between the arms of his wife, Sora, v'koma aino leberesha, and she, Sora, is peering at down at his head, which the Iyun Yaakov explains to mean that Avram was soimich on the hands of Sora that did chesed, and Sora, on the other hand, is looking at the moyach, the head of Avram Avinu. He's the one who learned Torah. Sora didn't learn Torah. It was Avram who learned Torah. So she is being soimich on the Torah of Avram, and Avram is being soimich on the hands of Sora. Omar lei, so Rav Banoah said to Eliezer, Eved Avram, Zil Emele, tell Avram that Banoah, koy above Avram, that Banoah is standing outside at the entrance. And when Eliezer went and told Avram this, and Avram said, Omar lei, Avram said to Eliezer, Leil, let Rav Banoah come in. I'm in such a position where I'm lying in the arms of my wife, Sora, and she is fondly looking at my head. Leo, let him come in, because maybe the idea, he knows the Yetzer behind Amaleka. He knows there's no Yetzer Hor in this world, as the Rashbam explains. I don't have to hide from him. There ain't kan chutzpah. There's no chutzpah on my part that in front of him I would show this affection, because he knows there's no Indian of Yetzer Hor in this world. From here, the Namuk Yosef says, is a raya, that in Olam Hazeh, in regular life, in public, a husband and wife should not show affection between one another. However, Avram was saying that since I'm no longer in the regular world and there is here no Yetzer Hara, so Rav Benoah knows there's nothing for me to be ashamed of if this is what I am doing at this moment. So Ayol, he went in, and the Gemara says that Ayin, he measured off the kever of Avram, v'nafik, and he went out. Ki mata lamata, the Adam Arishan, when he came to the crypt of Adam Arishan, and the Rashbam here brings down the Gemara in Erev and Daphne and Gimel that tells us that we know that the Avis and Adam were buried in Moras HaMachpelah, in Kiryas Arba. There were four couples there, which Rabbi Yitzchak tells us were Adam and Chava, Avram and Sora, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. And it was called Moras HaMachpelah because there's a machloikis, either there were two sections, one section inside, an inner section inside of the outer section, or that it was one bias on top of another bias. If it was one section within the other section, Adam was in the inside section, the Avos were in the outside. If it was one on top of the other, the Avos were on top, and Adam was at the bottom. So he went to the part of Adam Arishan. Yotza Baskol v'omra. Baskol came out from heaven and said, Nistakalta bidmust yukni. You have looked at the likeness of my image, of Hashem. There's Machlokes Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom says this refers to Avram. Avram was in the form of Adam Harishan. But b'diyukni atzmal tistakal. But don't look at my image itself, which is personified in Adam Harishan. as the pasuk says in Bereishis, Rashbam brings it down, Betzalem Elokim Boroisoi. So Adam is the image of Hashem himself. And the Mashra points out that even though there were people, Mechayim, who saw Adam Arishin, but that was only Mechayim, La'achar Misa, no one was allowed to look at it. So you looked at a likeness of my image. You looked at the Rabbeinu Gershom says Avram, or the Rashbam says that this refers to Yaakov, as we're going to see soon in the next Gemara that Yaakov was Me'ein Shufrid Adam Arishin. He had some of the beauty of Adam Arishin. So you looked in a likeness of my image, said Hashem, Yaakov or Avram, who was like Adam Arishin, but in my image, in Tzelem, Betzalem Elokim Boroisoi, and Adam Arishin himself, Al Tistakel, don't look. So Rav Banoah said, Habino, let's unimarta, but I have to mark off the kever. I want to make sure that nobody's ma'al on top of the kever. So the Vasco said, Kemidis Hachitsoina Kachmidis Apnimis. According to the Mandi Omer in Erevin, who learns that there was an outside house and an inside house, the same measurement that the outside house had of the three Avais, it's the exact same measurement for Adam Arishin in the inside house. It doesn't project any longer. Therefore, you don't have to measure the inside one. And if you hold that there were two houses, one on top of the other, and Adam Arishin was in the bottom one, Kimidis El Yoina, Kach Midis HaTachtoina, just like the top one was, so was the bottom one. You don't, it didn't stick out any longer. You don't have to measure it. Amar Rabbanah said, Nistakalti Bishnei Akevov. I looked at the two heels of Adam Arishin. That's all I saw of him. V'doimim, and they were like Shnei Galgalicham, like the two orbs of the sun. That's how powerful the light was. And the Anaf Yosef explains that the Akev, the heel, is the humblest part of a person, the shiftless of a person. The lowest, humblest part of Adam Arishin had enough light, was so choshev as the two Galgalei Chama. The Gemara now discusses the radiance and beauty of the Doris Horishonim. Hakol, all of humanity, Bifnei Sora compared to Sora, Kekof Bifnei Adam, is like a monkey compared to a person. Sora Bifnei Chava, Sora herself compared to Chava, her radiance is Kekof Bifnei Adam, is like a monkey to a person. Chava Bifnei Adam, Chav in front of Adam, compared to Adam, who is the Yitzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Kekof B'fnei Adam, is like comparing a monkey to a person. Adam B'fnei Shechina, and Adam, and compared to Hashem, is Kekof B'fnei Adam. And now we speak about beauty. Shufrei de Rav Kahana, we'll learn the parentheses, Me'ein Shufrei de Rav. The beauty of Rav Kahana was somewhat like that of Rav. Shufrei de Rav, the beauty of Rav, Me'ein Shufrei de Rav Avuah, was somewhat like that of Rabba Avua, Shufrei de Rabba Avua, main Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu. The beauty of Rabba Avua was somewhat of the beauty of Yaakov Avinu, and Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu, main Shufrei de Adam Arishin. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu was somewhat that of Adam Arishin, and this is what we mentioned before from the Rashbam, that Rav Banoah had been told by the Baskol, you saw Yaakov, according to the Pshat of the Rashbam, and he's Me'ein Adam Arishin, but Adam Arishin himself, I don't want you to look at. And now that we have learnt a Gemara where people who have left this world still demonstrated that in certain aspects they were still alive, the Gemara is going to bring a related story to this fact. Ahu Amagusha, there was a magician, Davichotet Shichva, he used to dig up corpses, and he used to strip them of their clothes. Kimota ama'arta de Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. When he came to the crypt of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Tafsei, the Bach takes out the word bedikne, which would mean his beard. The next year, as we're going to see, when he came, so Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed his beard. But apparently the Bach is learning that the first time he grabbed himself. Tafsei, us Abaye, so Abaye, the Rashbam says, was a friend of this Amagusha. Omar Lay, he said to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, B'metusiminach, I beg of you, Shafke, leave him, let him go. Don't grab him anymore. And so it was, he let him go. But Lashon Achriti, the next year, Hadrasa, he didn't learn his lesson, Damagusha. He came again. Tavse Bedikni, this time, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, from his crypt, he grabbed a hold of the beard of the Amagusa. Also, Abai came again, and he pleaded for his friend, Loi Shafke. He would not let him go. Ad Aisei Mispar, until Abai had to bring scissors, Begazil Adikne, he cut off the beard of the Amagusa, and then he was freed from the grip of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. The Gemara now relates a story of someone who was giving out, he was Mitzava Machmas Misva, he was on his deathbed, and he was giving out his property. He didn't want people to know how rich he was, so in a clever way, he divided his property up amongst his children. Hahuda Amarlu, who a person said to his children, Chavisa de Afrila Chadbroi, a barrel full of earth goes to one son. Chavisa de Garmi, a barrel full of bones, the Chadbroi, goes to the second son. Chavisa de Udra, a barrel of cotton, L'chadbroi, that goes to the third son. Loi havayadi mai kamarlu, they didn't understand what their father was saying. What do you mean, a barrel of earth, of bones, of cotton? Osel kamei de Rabbi Noah, they came in front of Rabbi Noah, who had a reputation of being a great chacham. Omar lehu, Rabbi Noah said to these sons, Islechu ara, did your father leave over, when he died, did he leave over property? Amru le'in, so they answered, yes he did. Then he asked them, Islechu chiyusa, did he leave over any animals? The Bach puts in, Amru le'in, they said, yes, he left over animals. Finally, Rabbi Noah asked them, Islechu bistarki, did he leave over any quilts made from cotton? The Rashbam says that this refers to kol mini begadim asuya mimuchin, all kinds of clothing made from cotton. Amru lei, according to the Bach, in, they answered again, yes. Ihachi, if so, hachi karmelchu. That's what your father was saying to you. And therefore, the chavisa, the afra, the barrel of earth, that's the ara, that's the land, the property that he left over. Chavisa, the garmi of the bones, that's the chiyus, that's the bones of the animals. And finally, chavisa, the udra, the barrel of cotton, that's the bistarki. Those are the quilts made from cotton. Hahu gavra, there was a man, the shamala devusa, he overheard his wife saying, the ka'amra labrata, she said to her daughter, Amayaloit sneas bisura. If you're going to have relations with men, why don't you do it in a very hidden way that nobody finds out about it? Hach itza, take me for example. This woman, speaking about herself, Asora bona isla, that woman has 10 children, I have 10 children, Velesli me'avuch elachad, there's only one child that I have from your father. The other 9 were from men that I had relations with. Kishachiv, so now, when the husband realized that only one of his 10 sons was his real son, when he was about to die, Omar Lahu, he said to his 10, to the 10 boys, one of whom was his son, Kol Nichsel Chadbro, I'm giving over all my property to one son. As the Rashbam says, La'echad mi bonai, oise sheyivru bezdin. Whoever bezdin decides that this is my one son, that's why I'm giving it over. Lo yadil lahayminayu. They didn't know which one he was giving it over to. Osla kamei de Rabbi Noah, so they came to Rabbi Noah. Amar lahu. So Rabbi Noah wisely said to them, Zilu chavutu kivra davuchan. Go and bang on the kever of your father. Ad dekoy until he rises up. Umegale lahu, and he reveals to you, lahayminayu shafka, to which one he left it over. So Osla kula, 9 of the brothers went, Hahud, and they began banging. Hahud Debrei, the one who was really his son, Hahud Debrei of Eloy Ozel, he did not go. Omar Lehu, so Rabbi Noah said to the 9 who went, Kulu Nichsedahai, all the property that your father left over is to this 10th son who did not go. And the Rashbam explains, because number one, the Gemara in Kedushta of Ayin Alpha Mabase tells us that Mamzerim have tremendous chutzpah, they're brazen. So the other 9 who were Mamzerim, they had the chutzpah to go bang on their father's kever. So this was the test that Rabbi Noy was implementing. The son, who the real son, who was not a Mamzer, who didn't have chutzpah, he wouldn't go. And also, based on the principle of shud d'daini, the Rashbam says, that based on the estimation of the judge, he can decide who deserves it more. And here, Rabbi Noah, the judge, decided that the father would avada love that son who did not come and bang on his kever in a chutzpahdika manner, and it was to that son that he really would be giving over his entire Yerusha to. And therefore, avada Rabbi Noah, says the Rashbam, paskin correctly that it should go to that son who did not go and bang on his father's kever. But the story doesn't end here. Ozlud, nine brothers who didn't get anything, Achlu Kurtza, which Rashbam says is a lashon of being malshin, they went to the government, Achlu Kurtza be Malka, they went to the government, and they were meiser on Rabbi Noah. And Amri, they said, Ika gavra chad b'yudoi, there's one person amongst the Jews, the Kamapig Mamayna Ma'anshe, he takes money away from people, beloy sadi, without witnesses, u beloy midi, or as the Bach has it, beloy raya. There's no proof that it belongs to this tenth son, and he gave it all to him, as you, so the authorities brought Rav Bano, and Chavshu, they incarcerated him in prison. Now, Ozla Divisu, so his wife went, and in a very smart way, she saved her husband. Amra Lahu, she came to the court of the king and she said, I have a problem. Avda Chad Havali, I had one slave. Paskul Ereshe, they came and cut off his head. Pashtul Mishke, they skinned him. V'achlu Bisre, they ate his flesh. V'kamolu Be'maya, and now they had in the skin, they filled it up with water. Umashke Be'lechavraya, Rashi says Chavraya means the Bnei Yeshiva. They gave water to the Bnei Yeshiva. V'lekayavli demay, they didn't give me money for this Eved. V'loy Agri, they didn't give me rental money either. Lo Yadi my Karmelu, the court of the king, didn't know what she was talking about. Amri, they said, Nesu l'chakima d'yudoi. This was her plan. She knew that the only one who could figure this out would be her smart husband, Rabbano. So the court said, let's summon the smart one of the Jews, who is Rabbano. V'leiman, let him interpret exactly what she's saying. Karyud l'Rabbano. They called Rabbano. Omar l'hu, he said to the court, Zarnuka amra l'hu. She wasn't talking about a real levit. She was talking about a goat that was taken by the people. Her goat was stolen. It was slaughtered. Then they skinned the goat. They made from it a skin bag. Zarnuka is a skin bottle. And in it they put water. And then they took the water and gave it to the Bnei Yeshiva to drink. And they didn't pay for the goat that they stole, and they didn't give any rental for the skin bag that the skin bottle that they made from the goat skin. Amre, so the court said, Hoyle v'chokim kuli hai, since Rabbi Noah is so smart, he's so clever, leisev abava, let him sit at the entrance of the court, v'nidin dina, and let him judge cases. Chaza, he saw Rabbi Noah, daviksiv b'ibula, that it was written on the doors of the entrance to the court, the following, that people should learn from this. That what? Kol Dain, any judge, the Miskara Ladin, who's summoned to a court proceeding because of monetary matters, Loishme Dain, he's possible to be a judge because we see that he runs after money, he likes money, so he can be bribed, and therefore he cannot be a judge. Omar Lehu, said Rabbi Noah to the court, Elamiyata, according to what you've written here, Asa Inish Me'alma, so anybody could come along, as we turn to Daf Nun Chesamid Beis, Umazmin Le Ladina Pasle, and he will summon the judge to court. So are you telling me, Pasle, that he'll disqualify him? So it'll be, the law will be in anybody's hand to go and Pasle any judge that he wants, and he could be an upright judge, and he could be found innocent by the court, and yet since he was brought to trial, because of that he's puzzled, that can't be. Ella, you know what you should write there? Kol dayin de miskar ledin, umafkin mine mamoina, any judge who's called to a court case and the court finds him guilty and they take money from him. In other words, he was stealing money. He had this stolen money in his possession. It was only through the judgment of the court that he had to repay this money. In such a case, if this was done bedin in a judgment of the court, lav shmei dayin. Then a nechanami, he is suspected of loving money, of taking a bribe, and he is posel to be a judge. So the Gemara says, kosvu hochi, that in fact, they wrote under the inscription that was already on the doors, they wrote the following based on what Rav Benoah had said. Barum, quote, this is what they wrote. Barum, but Saboy de Yehudoi Amri, the wise elders of the Jews say, Kol Dayan de Miskari Ladin, every judge that is sued and he's summoned to come to court, to a court case, Umafkin Meneme Moine Bedin, and he is found guilty, he is required to pay, and they extract money from him, Bedin. That person who we see stole the money, lav shmei dayin. He's possible to be a dayin. We see that he likes money, he can be bribed, and he cannot be an effective judge. Tosfos on the top of the Amud de Ramaskel called dayin points out that this is only if the judge said that he does not owe the money, he was kaifer, and the court was able to extract the money based on the testimony of witnesses. But if it's a case where he was obligated to make a shvua and he did not want to swear, and because of that, instead he paid, that would not be a case which would disqualify him as a judge. It would only be his fear of not wanting to swear that caused him to pay, but perhaps he in fact was not guilty, and that would not possible him to be a dayan. So this is what they wrote based on the advice of Rabbi Noah. The Gemara says further that Chaza, Rabbi Noah, saw the Girsa of the Bach is the Have Ksiv. It said the following as well, inscribed there on the door in the entranceway to the court. Beroish kol Musa anodam, at the head of all death am I blood, as the Rashbam explains that if a person has too much blood in his system, that can cause him death. Beroish kol chayin, at the head of all life, ano chamar, am I wine, as the Rashbam explained, shayayin mechaye kol shayisav, because wine gives life to all who drink it. On this, Rabbi Noah commented, elamiyata, if so, according to what you're saying, denafel me igro miss, if somebody fell down from a roof and he died, udenafel me diklo miss, and someone who fell down from a palm tree and died, are you going to say that doma katle, that it was too much blood that caused him to die? Visu, man de darche lememis, somebody who's a gosis, he's about to die. Mashkele chamra v'chai, are you saying that we should give him wine and that will cause him to live? Of course he's going to die, the wine won't help him. So we have to amend what is written on the doorway. Alahachi boil mikhtav. This is what you should write under what is presently written there. Quote, Beroish kol marin anodam, at the head of all illness am I blood. The Rashbam explains, because all the illnesses of a person come as a result of having too much blood. Beroish kol asvan anoch amar, at the head of all cures, as the Rashbam explains, preventive cures, anoch amar, am I wine? And the Rashbam says, shem yishte yain kahalocha ukoroi, lo yavli dechoyli. If a person drinks wine properly, he doesn't take too much wine, he takes it in a measured amount, then it is a positive preventive cure, and he will not suffer illnesses. So Kosvu Hachi, they listened to the advice of Rabbi Noah, and they added on the doorway the following words, Berum, but, Saboy de Yudai Amre, the wise elders of the Jews say, Beroish kol marin anodam, at the head of all illnesses am I blood, Beroish kol asvan, at the head of all cures, anoch amar, am I wine, And then they added, ba'aser de leschamar. It's only in a place where wine is not available, taman, over there, midboy, someone there, you will need to find cures of drugs and medications that will cure illnesses. But if you have the chamar, if you have the wine, you drink it properly, that will prevent illnesses from coming. And this ends all the various stories and halachas and memories of Rabbanon. Now, the Rashbam explains, the Gemara brings tangentially, since we were speaking about inscriptions on doors, we're going to speak about another inscription that taught people things by reading the following on a door that was found in Kaputkia. Kaputkia is in present-day Turkey. Says the Gemara, Siv apischa de Kaputkia, it was written over there on the door in Kaputkia, the following. Unpak, unbug, Antal, as the Rashbam explains, we actually have a machloek here between Rashbam and Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Gershon. The Rashbam's pshat is that these three words are all measurements. They're the same amount. They're used concerning mekach u'memkar, that if a person used any one of these measurements, how much would he have to give to, how much would the moicher have to give to the lekeach? Ve'ezu antal. And according to Rashbam, it means not only antal, but ezil, unpak, unbug, and antal. Zehu revi'ah shaltar. We're speaking about a revi'ah halug. As the Rashbam explains, a lug has six bayim. A quarter of a lug is 1.5 bayim. And this is a revi'ah shaltar. This is the amount that the marcher would have to give the lekech of anything that he is selling to the lekech. Why is it called revi'ah shel Torah? So the Rashbam brings down a Gemara in Nazir daf lamed chesam et aleph that there's actually 10 halachas in the Torah that use the shear of a revi'ah. One of the ones that we're most familiar with is the isser of a nazir to drink wine. That would be a revi'ah of wine. The Rashbam also brings down that negeah to the arba koisis, which we drink on Pesach, there is a chiyuv to drink a revi'ah of wine. The cup should hold a revi'ah of wine, and although this is only a din de rabbanon, but since the rabbanon based it on a remez in the Torah from the arbol ashayna shel geula, the four words that refer to redemption, which are voitzesi, vihitzalti, vigalti, vilakachti. So therefore, this is also called revi'ah shel Torah because it's based on the arbol ashayna shel geula that are written in the Torah. This is the pshat of the Rashbam. However, Tosfos brings from Rav Chaim that Rav Chaim said, no, unbug and unpack. Tosfos gears his first the word unbug and then unpack. Our Gemara is unpack and then unbug. But according to Tosfos, those first two words of the three words here are drinks, mashkim de refua, like asparagus, which we find the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kufiyu tells us that asparagus is yofel alev, it's good for the heart. So the first two words are drinks that are healthy. The third word, antal, that is the measurement. And that's why Gemara, according to Tosfos, only uses ve'ezel antal. How much is the shear of antal? That's a revi'ah shel Torah. The Rabbeinu Gershon goes with the same mahalach as Tosfos, and he adds that why is this measurement called antal? Because it is the same measurement that a person uses in the keli from which he does the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. So the word antal comes from netilas yadayim. That's a revi'ah shel Torah, which is a beya umachza, a quarter of a lug being six beyim, so a revi'ah is beya umachza. So these three words were written on the door in Kaputkia to teach people that either all three have one shear of revi'ah, or that the two medicinal drinks, according to Tosfos and Rabbeinu Gershom, have the shear of antal, which is a revi'ah shel Torah. And now the Mishnah continues to speak about cheskas tashmishin. If a person bought the rights to use someone else's property, or he was given it as a matana, so he comes with a chazaka sheyeshi matina, that I have a right to use your property for my purposes. So here we have a fundamental machlokes between the Rashbam and Tosfos. The Rashbam sheet, as we find in the first Rashbam on the Mishnah here, is that Cheskes Tashmishin also has the same shear of Gimel Shanim, whereas the sheet of the Goinim brought down in the Tur in Chosh Mishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, they disagree, and they hold that by Cheskes Tashmishin, it's a shear la alter. If the person should have been Moicha, and he wasn't Moicha, when he saw his friend using his property for his own purposes, then the shear is immediately. And now the Mishnah will tell us which things, by according to Rashbam, by using it for 3 years, there would be a chazaka, and which items, even if you used it for 3 years, there would still not be a chazaka. And the main criteria of the Mishnah is whether what you're using is kavua or it's not kavua. If it's a permanent fixture, so then, if you used it for 3 years, according to the sheet of the Rashbam, and the other person wasn't Maicha, he should have been Maicha, because he knows it's something permanent, so then it would be a chazaka. However, if it's something temporary, where the other person doesn't mind, because he knows it's a movable thing, which is here today, gone tomorrow, so there, even if he used it for 3 years, we say the reason he wasn't Maicha is because he considered it only temporary, and he didn't bother him that you were using his field. So then, in fact, even after 3 years, it would not be a chazaka. Begins the Mishnah. Hamarzov ein lechazaka. As the Rashbam explains, we have in our Mishnah here two types of drain spouts. One is a large gutter, which is called the maschila, which is put on the roof across the entire roof, and from there it feeds into a small drain pipe, a small drain spout called the marzav. The marzav, in the times of the Gemara, was something movable. It could be moved from one end of the gutter to the other end, says the Mishnah. Hamarzav ein lechazaka. The lashon of marzav, the Rashbam explains, is from a pasuk in Yeshaya Perik Mem, kemar medli, which means the word mar there means like a tipa, a drop which is zav. Hamar, drop, zav, which flows. So this small pipe where the water is flowing, the purpose of the pipe is that the water should be nisrachek from the wall of the owner of the house. So ein lechazaka, there, even it's there for 3 years, since it's something that it's flexible. In other words, your marzav went into the property of your friend, and the water that went away from your house was flowing into your friend's property. But he didn't mind, because this was not a permanent structure. It's not kavua. And therefore, even if you did it for 3 years, after 3 years, he can come to you and tell you that you have to move it. But v'yesh l'makayma chazaka, the place has a chazaka. The Gemara, the Rashbam tells us, is going to explain what does this mean, that the Mars of itself has no chazaka, but the Makam has a chazaka. And the Gemara is going to give us three terutzim on the pshat in v'yesh l'makayma chazaka. Hamaschila, the large gutter pipe, yesh lo chazaka, that is a permanent structure. And therefore, if I see that you are using the maschila on my property, and I don't protest for 3 years on that, then you, in fact, can have a chazaka, because if it bothered me, I should have protested. It must be, says the Rashbam, that we made up the vadai nisratza imoy bedamim. We made up some monetary arrangement that I could use your field. I could have the maschila pouring the water into your field, and therefore, after 3 years, I cannot anymore protest. You have a chazok, a raya, that you must have purchased these rights from me. Sulama mitzri, if you have a small ladder, which is three rungs or less, the purpose of this ladder was for the neighbor to climb up to his roof or to his dovecot, I had it in my neighbor's property. Since it's a small little ladder and it is movable very easily. Ein lechazaka. Even if I had it there for 3 years, it didn't bother my neighbor. That's why I didn't protest. But it's no raya that I purchased the rights of my neighbor's field to use it for my sulam amitzri. However, litzuri, you have a large ladder coming from tzur, from Tyre. There, yesh lechazaka. If I left it for 3 years on your property and you weren't meichel, that's a proof that I had the right of cheskes tashmishin to use your property for my purposes. Chalona mitzris, if you have a small little window, and the Mishnah will explain soon what the dimensions of this window is, but it's very small, and the purpose, as the Rashbam explains, of this window is that I can look through my wall and I could see the garden or the vineyard which is near my neighbor's property. So at the same time that I have this window, I'm looking into my neighbor's property, but I also see my property, so I could keep an eye on my property. So my neighbor looked at this small window as something temporary, not kavua. That's why I didn't protest. So memela ein lechazaka. So after 3 years, you do not have a chazaka. And he could build in front of it and ruin your view. You have no chazaka. However, ulitzuris, but to a large window from Tyre, yesh lo chazaka. There you have a chazaka. Now, the Rashbam points out that even a small window, if I would do it for light, and the Rashbam says the case is, shaloi hoyoloi oira mitzad acher kiyam mikan. If the only place that I can get light is through this window, then even if it's small, since a person can't live in a house without any light, so there, this is something permanent. And I should have protested your building a permanent structure of this window. And if I didn't, then that's a chazaka that you have a cheskes tashmishin over here that allowed you. You must have bought the right, or I gave it to you as a matana, for you to build a window that you can have some light coming into your property. As the Rashbam brings down, that Shmuel says in the Gemara, "Ulo oira afilo kol shu avi chazaka." If I can establish that I did it for light, then even if it's a small little window, that is considered a chazaka, because that's considered kavua, and I should have protested. If I didn't, then it's a raya that the person who built the window has a cheskes tashmishin here, continues the Mishnah. Ezui chalon mitzris. The chalon mitzvahs, which we said, when a person is not doing it for light, but rather he's doing it just to look out and take care of his pardes or his gina, his garden. So what is the shear for this small window? Kol shein roishish aladim yachli kanas l'tarcha. If a person's head cannot go into that window, it's so small, it's like a peephole. It's not a big window. His head can't fit into it. That if I'm not doing it for light, I'm just doing it to guard my property. So then it is not a chazaka even after 3 years. Rabbi Yehuda says, im yesh lo malbein. If I put a frame around the window, afal pishen rosh shalom yachli konstarcha. Even though a person's head can't fit into that small window, a frame already denotes that it is something permanent. I should have been moch. If I wasn't moch, I raise a chazaka. Then it is considered a chazaka on the person who built this window with the frame. Ask the Gemara, my hamar zavein lechazaka v'yesh mekayim chazaka. What is the meaning of the first phrase in the Mishnah that the marzev, there is no chazaka, but the makam has a chazaka? And on this we have three terutzim. The first teretz, Amrav Yudom Rishmuel, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Hamarzev ein lechazaka miruach achas, but v'yesh lemakam chazaka mishtei ruchos. As the Rishbam explains, you have this marzev. It could be on the north side, it could be on the south side. It's movable from north to south, or vice versa. And therefore, for the person whose marzev it is to say, I want it only in the north side, I don't want it in the south side, on that we say ein lechazaka. However, for the person's field into which the Marzo is pouring the water, for him to say, I want you after 3 years to remove your Marzo totally, on that he has a chazaka. Because a person needs a Marzo, he needs a drain pipe to take the water away from his property, away from his wall. So once I see you building a Marzov, I should have protested that I don't want your Marzov to go into my property. So the only thing I can say is I didn't protest when it was on the north side, and because I knew that you could always move it to the south side. It wouldn't cause you any hefset, says the Rashbam, where the water is going into my field, whether it's going into the north side of my field or the south side of my field. So that I didn't protest. I mean, mail on that, you have no raya to force me to leave the Marzav on the north or the south side. However, to say that I don't want you to have the Marzav at all, that's a dover kavua. And on that, I should have protested. If I didn't, it indicates that I am agreeing to let you have the Marzav. The only thing that I have flexibility on is that I want you to move it from the north to the south, or vice versa. So that's the first pshat. I don't have a chazaka on which side to use it, but I do have a chazaka that I have to have it at least on one of the two sides. Rav Chanina Omar, Rav Chanina gives a second teretz. Hamarzav ein lechazaka shem hayu orach mekatzrei. I don't have the right, once I built the Marzav which went into your property, to insist how long the Marzav will be. You have a right to say, I know that we can make the Marzav shorter, and therefore I didn't protest. But v'yesh l'makoy mechazaka. But where it is, the Baal HaMarzav has a chazaka, shem bo lo oikrei ein oikrei. The Rashbam explains that according to Rabbi Chanina, he disagrees with the first pshat of Shmuel. The Shmuel says that you, the Baal HaSada, can make the Baal HaMarzav move it from north to south, or vice versa. On that, Rabbi Chanina disagrees. Rabbi Chanina says that I do have a chazaka that I wanted right here on the north side. I don't have a chazaka how long it should be. On that, you, the Baal HaSada, have a right to make it shorter. The fact that you didn't protest does not give me a chazaka how long it should be. The third pshat in the beginning of the Mishnah is that of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, Hamarzav ein lechazaka, shem roitze liv nois tachtov boinem. The Baal Hamarzav, even though he has a right to have his Marzav stick into the other person's field, and he has a right that the water should flow into the other person's field, but he has no right to stop the Baal HaSada from building under the Marzav, or the Rashbam says, Levilti HaSoisboi Tzarchoi Ben Binyan Ben Koldover HaTzarchoi, whether it's building or any other Tashmish that I want to use, the Marzav is in the air. The airspace from the Marzav down to the ground, that the Baal HaSada can use for any purpose. On that, the Baal HaMarzav doesn't have a chazaka to prohibit the Baal HaSada from building there. That's what it means that there's ein lechazaka. Shem roitze liv noiser tachtav boine. He could. V'yesh l'mkoyim lechazaka, but the Baal HaMarzav does have in the place a chazaka. That means shem bo lo oikrei ein oikrei, that if the Baal HaSada wants to build something which will necessitate that the Baal HaMarzav has to move his Marzav away, on that we say that the fact that the Baal HaSada didn't protest for 3 years indicates that he was giving the Baal HaMarzav the right to leave the Marzav there, and the Baal HaMarzav can stop the Baal HaSada from building up from the ground up, which will necessitate him to remove his Marzav. On that, the Baal HaMarzav does have a chazaka. But underneath the Marzav, as long as the Marzav remains, from the Marzav to the ground, there the Baal HaSada is able to build whatever he would like. And in tomorrow's shir, we will see how the Gemara will ask the question on this last shita of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba from the Mishnah that we have just learned.